Oh, really?
No, it was not James Earl Jones in the
No,
costume.
not James Earl Jones, but the stunt actor.
The original?
No, not the original. That was David Prowse, I think. A new stunt actor is.
Okay. Oh, I see. So
That
it's
makes
not just
sense.
like.
They're not dressing up like 80-year-old James Earl Jones in
I that's what you're
costume.
saying. You're like. Episode number 237 of the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
And this week we're going to talk a little bit more about Mirror's Edge. We're going to talk about a game called In Between, an indie platforming puzzle game. We will still bask in the glow of a post E3 world. And then we'll get into some gaming news and some film news. And then we will talk to you about what you were most excited about from E3, which was last week.
That's crazy. Let's do it.
Yeah. So how's it going, man?
Good, man. It's been busy as hell. Still learning the ropes of fatherhood, cleaning up lots of pee and lots of poop.
Did you get the instruction manual?
Yeah, it's all bullshit, man.
So true.
It's like every instruction manual. It's like you read stuff and they're like, this isn't how this IKEA piece of furniture actually fits together.
Yeah, not at all.
You have to kind of pound a little bit harder and stuff like that. So it's it's interesting. It's really exciting being a new dad, and really, really, really exhausting. It is no joke. So kudos to all of you parents out there that have been through the first couple months.
Yep. You just find a way. Like there's no, you can't, I mean, I think reading the internet is probably the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of refuse. My wife is the one who reads all the horrible forums and threads, like the ask.com, like, why is my baby sneezing? And the other person's like, your baby has brain amoebas.
Yeah.
So I steer clear of all that stuff.
And basically every response ends with, it's because you're a terrible parent. You're no, I'm not. I'm just doing the best I can.
Yes, other than that stuff, I've been still playing Overwatch, still
Excellent.
Enjoying the hell out of Overwatch. It's one of those weird things where if you asked me a couple months ago, because I never really played the beta, if you asked me a couple months ago if I was excited about it, I would have said, no.
Yeah.
Now that I'm playing it and I realize like what they've created, they've kind of captured that same magic that they captured with, a lot of their games like World of Warcraft, StarCraft. There's just something really incredible about the way Blizzard makes games. And I know I'm like drinking the Blizzard Kool-Aid now as
well,
someone
okay.
who played Warcraft for a really long time. There's something about the mechanics of the game, the design of the characters, the level design, like, oh my God, like the way these levels are designed and these maps are designed, like they should teach it in upcoming game design classes because they're just brilliant. All the choke points and just how well everything is crafted. I think it's absolutely brilliant. So
That's
still
cool.
playing Overwatch. I think if you look at my played hours, it's like 40 hours or something like that, which I don't even understand. They must all be at like 3 a.m.
I was going to say that's pretty impressive
it
given
is.
your circumstances.
But that's really, honestly, that's like all I've played since it came out. So watched a little bit of Broad City. Have you seen or heard of Broad City?
I know what it is, and it's something that I always intend to watch. I know
right.
I've only watched like two episodes, even though what I liked, I loved it. It's just, I just never remembered
right.
to watch it, you know?
Yeah. I think three seasons are available now on Hulu if you are a subscriber to Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny, man. Like it's not something that, that I thought I would enjoy. Like, I don't give a crap about like hipster culture in Brooklyn, New York. And that's why, like when I watched Girls for a while with my wife, I would be like, oh man, like I just, all these girls do is get into trouble and like do disgusting things. And like, it wasn't for me, but,
right.
It wasn't for me, but this is absolutely hilarious. It's like a really super like well-written, incredibly like the two girls, Abby and Alana are just so talented. They write like almost everything and they're in absolutely every scene. And it is laugh out loud funny every single episode. So if you're into just great humor and just unbelievable, you know, situations that these two girls get themselves into. Definitely check out Broad City on Hulu. Really good. I won't mention what happens in Game of Thrones, but holy balls, this season has been the best thing ever. It is the
Are you serious?
It is the best season, man.
I've watched none of it because of how terrible the previous season was. And I know that everyone's like, well, this one's much better, but I don't know. I mean,
I know. No, I'm with you, man. Last season was like, you know, kind of getting punched in the gut over and over again. But
it was also boring.
It was kind of boring.
Yeah.
But something happened and they're not adhering to the books anymore because the books haven't been written.
Sure.
And so the creatives at HBO get to, you know, look at George R. R. Martin's outline and then make up their own shit. And it's so much better.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like super positive and all this really exciting fun stuff happens and stuff you've been waiting to happen.
But I mean, is that Game of Thrones like for things like that to happen?
Well, it's not like, you know, Bran of Tarth like riding on a unicorn or anything like that, but it's still very like all this stuff that you're just like, oh my God, would that character just fucking hurry up and meet that character? And you've been waiting like, you know, 40 episodes for that to happen. Well, that keeps happening. So it's a lot of payoff. So it feels good for once. And it's one of the few times in the show where, and I said this before, but good things start to happen to good people and bad things finally start to happen to bad people.
I see.
And so you're like, oh, okay. I now really want to see, you know, where this show ends. Cause it, you know, next or this Sunday is actually the season finale.
Right.
And then the next season is the final season and it's only supposed to be 7 or 8 episodes long. So we're really like near the end of the series.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's really good again, man. I definitely say jump back in there and try and, you know, shake off that last season. Cause it was, not so great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure at some point we'll end up watching it, but it was like, I did not intend to watch, you know, in real time, each episode as it came out. Cause you know, sometimes the saying goes, it's like you have to vote with your wallet and the last season was bad. So I just decided not to support it this time around. But, you know, I still want to know what happens. So I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, that's good.
And I probably said this on the show before, but like my mom likes to watch it too. And she's like, hey, she texts me. She's like, are you watching Game of Thrones? And I was like, no, we don't have HBO right now. And she's like, oh, well, I just read episode synopsis online. And it's just like, I'm like, that's so funny.
That is
like
awesome.
That she just needs to know what happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
And the last thing that I'll talk about that has been out for a while, but I just finally watched it and I'm terrible because I should have watched it earlier. But, you know, Rocket Jump's been around for a really long time, hundreds of millions of views on YouTube and such. But they came out with a Hulu series, which was, I think, was 8 or 9 episodes long. And so Hulu basically supported Rocket Jump for a season and let them produce 8 new shorts. And it's awesome. If you're interested in film production at all, they go through the entire creative process on planning out 8 of their short films. And they show, you know, the pitch and they show how they actually shoot it. And then they actually show you the short at the end. And some of them are just incredible. They brought the Birches, Anthony Birch and Ashley Birch on board. Yeah. And it was just so good, man.
Oh, that's cool.
So good. Awesome. So definitely check out Rocket Jump on Hulu. They're only 1/2-hour episodes. So you can cruise through the whole season in, you know, one sitting, but it's great.
Yeah. 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 Awesome.
So what have you been doing, man?
Well, I'm still playing Mirror's Edge and I will talk about it later, but I reviewed a game called In Between, which would be like the stuff of nightmares for you. So it's a puzzle game. But with Mirror's Edge, I've kind of, it's interesting, like had we done this podcast 2 days ago, I would have had even a different feeling than I do now about the game, because at this point I think when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, I'd probably played, I don't know, 5 hours or so of the game, and at this point I've probably played closer to 25 hours of the game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's a lot, because for Mirror's Edge, I think the first game you could probably beat it in less than 10 hours, but this is an open world game, and, you know, some of the complaints that I read about the game online are somewhat true, in the sense that the story is a little forgettable and the characters are kind of like cardboard, but I think the high and low with the game actually came from the extra stuff, like the padding in the game. Because what I started to see once I got further into the game was that there were environments that were vastly different from one another. So different sections of the city actually start to feel and look different from one another. So it's not just like you running through, you know, some sleek white techno-futuristic city, and I mean that's true, but there's like a construction zone, there's an underground area with like, you know, sewers and tunnels, and then there's sort of like an upscale part of town that's on the water. So you really get to start to see different things. And while like, you know, every single objective you do is like, hey, take this thing and take it to this other place as fast as you can, I really started getting interested in the races. So there's probably about 20 foot races that you can do in the game right now.
And are they against other parkour masters, or are they just against the clock?
It's against the clock, but it's synced up to an online leaderboard through, you know, through EA servers. So like once you complete it, you actually get to see, you know, the top time and the top 10 times when you start the race. But what I think is really cool in understanding that, you know, there will always be 10 people that are better than this game than you, right?
Yeah.
They actually, if you finish, you know, with a 3-star time, so you complete like the game objective, they actually give you a ranking for your percentile for the race time, which is kind of cool. So even if you're not like a speed runner and you're just kind of like a casual fan, but you're, you know, you've got a handle on the game, like I feel like I do, it's still nice to go, oh, well, I'm in the top 40%. Let me see if I can get down to the top 15%. What's really fascinating about these races, because Mirror's Edge is so focused on precision running and jumping and doing all these things, that the difference between being top 40 and being top 15 is sometimes 2 seconds, you know what I mean?
Oh,
or
wow.
Half a second, right? So you're doing all these little speed tweak tricks where you're like kind of double tapping to jump faster and making sure you roll out of your sliding maneuvers. And so I think in the middle of this game, I somehow hit like a zen point with the game mechanics, and I really got a feel for what's going on, and what it, you know, what happens to be true with a lot of open world games is that as soon as you start to go through the skill tree and unlock more of the abilities for your character, the game really opens up and you kind of have fun and can do whatever you want.
Why does it always have to take so long?
Yeah. So, I mean, like in the style of, you know, some of the Batman games, this game starts you in the middle of your skill tree I mentioned, and then you kind of have to unlock the rest of it. So it almost starts where, it starts like a little bit behind where your abilities in the first game were. And so you start to like get those abilities back, and then you unlock a bunch of other stuff, and then you're really kind of like having fun in the city. And I think that's at that point is really where I enjoyed most of the game. Unfortunately, at this point, I'm starting to feel like the game is slightly too long. Like I thought I played the last mission in the game.
Oh man.
And then I went and looked online and it was like, you have 3 more missions to complete. And I was like,
oh no.
Yeah, this game just needs to end. Let me complete this story so I can just run around and have fun and look for stuff, because that's really what the star of the game is. So
yeah, I mean, I think that the fact that you are going back and doing some of the additional content says that it's a good game. Anytime those open world games, you finish them and you're like, yeah, I'm fucking done.
Yes.
You know that there was something that was lacking, right? But like, you know, whenever I play a Fallout and I finish the main story mission, I'm like, okay, there's so much more left to do and I want so much more, you know, and that's a good open world game. So
yeah, absolutely. And my fear, and I don't know this to be true, but I think, you know, just from the volume of social media that I see and the, you know, the price point for the game is already cut to $40. Like I don't know that it's selling that well, which is sad because it's a really super solid game, especially like I mentioned before, if you're into skateboarding games, like this would be a game for you.
Right.
But I would really like to see, you know, co-op, and it doesn't even have to be competitive co-op. It would just be really cool if you could drop into game with someone else and you and another player could just run around the city together just for fun, you know,
right,
doing little free running lines throughout the city and stuff like that. There, and you can,
you know, it's a weird time because, you know, it went on sale right around the same time as Overwatch, and Overwatch at this point has sold over 10 million copies.
Right.
And right. It's one of those games that's very, very addicting. So, you know, people aren't picking up and playing a lot of things. You know, it's not, Overwatch isn't the type of game that you just stop after like, oh, I played for like 4 days. It's like, no, you got to keep playing.
So true.
It's hard because I think if it was released perhaps in a different window, it might have sold a little bit more, but who knows, man. And it is also a very niche type of thing. Like it's, you know, there aren't very many free running games out there. So like, who does that appeal to?
I know. I guess I'm just happy that there is one to begin with, because I think it surprised a lot of people when they announced, whoa, are you still there?
Yeah.
Sorry, the power just blipped at the house.
Whoa.
Looks like everything is still working, though.
That's incredible. That never happens for me.
Yeah, that's weird. Did you hear that? Did
I
you hear
heard a
everything?
beep beep. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the
Let's leave
power
that
signal.
in here. It sounds very like dire, like
Ooh,
something
yeah,
terrible happened.
like something scary happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, they know because I just said that what
Oh my
happened,
God.
but.
So I'm on a group text message with our friend Haley and like Matt and Melissa, and they have sent. Let's like break out of here and talk about group texts. They've sent probably 50 group texts during the entire time you were doing your Mirror's Edge Catalyst
Oh,
thing.
you want to leave this in the show?
Let's leave it in the show.
Oh,
And
okay.
I had to throw my phone across the room into like a soft area because it was just going vibrating constantly. And all our friend Haley is talking about is like supernatural or something.
Yeah,
So like,
yeah.
I'm just like, is there any way, do you know this, Scott? You know things. How do you get out of group text?
I don't think it's possible. I don't.
Oh, I
Yeah,
just want to escape it.
because we run into this problem too when we're trying to coordinate events with other people and things like that, you know?
Yeah, and it goes on for like 4 hours, and you're like, good God, can my phone just stop?
Yeah, and I mean I think you can put it on like do not disturb like you can in Slack, but
Oh,
I
that's a good
yeah.
idea.
Whew,
Or
yeah,
just
I
throw
don't
your phone across the room like I did.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the solution. Maybe a listener can tell us how to do that
Yeah.
because that's certainly a problem. Everyone should just move these convos to like Google Hangouts or some other place where you can actually exit if you need to.
Yes, I totally
Yeah.
agree. So,
Okay.
we're in a weird time for Loot Crate. The Dystopia crate just shipped yesterday. I got it. I don't want to spoil it quite yet, but it was still a really good crate. It had a new T-shirt, of course, because they're doing a T-shirt with every single crate. It has some stuff from RoboCop in it, some stuff from Terminator in it, some stuff from Fallout 4. So, if you're a fan of that kind of stuff, you may still be able to somehow get a hold of the Dystopia crate. But the new crate, we don't know what it is yet. But if you are a fan of getting cool stuff in the mail every single month and you want to get a little bit of a discount on your order, you can go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA, and you will help out our show, and we will very much appreciate it. And that's how, of course, we keep the proverbial lights on and keep each other happy, keep each other well fed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Pizza and soda, right?
Pizza and soda
Ice cream
once
social.
a month maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Or once a
But
year,
yeah,
whatever.
definitely go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA and let us know if you do that. We'd like to thank you on the show. If you are one of the people that have used our code, let because we don't see who uses it. We just see that people do use it and people do. So if you're a listener and you use our code, let us know and we will give you a shout out.
That
I
is
know
awesome.
our buddy Drew used it just recently and he let us know that he used the code
That's
and
awesome.
he's now getting Loot Crate. So
Super cool.
do that. News. What is this first one about Tiny Build?
Tiny Build has decided to take the website G2A to task almost. And have you been following this story at all?
No, I have not. I'm behind in almost all of my news right now.
Okay, so basically Tiny Build released a oppressor to you know all the websites and everything, stating that they became aware of the website G2A. Do you know what G2A is, first of
Yes.
all? Okay, yeah. So it's sort of like an eBay for trading game codes and selling game codes. And you know, Polygon did a piece on them about a year ago where they described it as sort of this gray market because there's not a lot of checks and balances in place to determine the legitimacy of some of the keys being sold.
Okay.
And apparently, I didn't know this was a thing, and this seems like not a cool thing to do, is that apparently people go and they will buy Humble Bundles and then turn around and sell the
Oh, I
keys.
heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I
How
was like,
evil could you possibly be?
yeah, I could
Like,
not fathom.
can you imagine that? That
Yeah,
is
just.
just like, that is so, like, if you are a listener and you have taken something from Humble Bundle who gives the money to charity, and then you have, like, you need to go
Yeah.
away.
And
Like,
then you know, in doing so, you sort of hose the developer because you're, you know, they provided those keys as part of the charity, and then people,
right.
I guess, turn around and sell those to make a profit, which is, I don't
Right.
know,
I mean,
seems a little.
anytime a developer gives bulk keys like that to a thing like Humble Bundle, they're essentially giving away money.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart because they want to help out a charity as well. So,
Yes. Okay.
yeah, it's bad.
So that's one of the parts, but apparently Tiny Build basically became aware of the fact that G2A has sold you know what would have been at full retail about $450,000 worth of game codes through their website. And what Tiny Build is discovering is that they feel as if a lot of these codes were purchased with stolen credit cards.
Okay.
And then when the, I guess they call it chargebacks, when the charges are reversed, Tiny Build takes the hit, but then whoever is selling these keys can go to G2A and sell the key and still make the profit without giving any money back to the developer whose key, you know, it originally belonged to, right? So basically Tiny Build called out G2A on this issue because they contacted them and they were like, hey, we feel as if a lot of these keys are not legitimate, or they're coming from stolen credit cards and so on. And basically G2A's stance was, well, we'd be willing to help you, but you need to partner with us first on like a distribution deal for your keys. So they were unwilling to provide support.
Wow.
Unless they became part of their, I guess, distribution network or system.
That sounds like some mafioso stuff right there.
Yeah. So this saga is unfolding quickly online, and you know, I will admit I did not realize what the website was a long time ago. I did purchase a key from there because I was like excited about a particular game and I got a good price on it. And then once I really started to dig in it a little deeper, I just got the vibe that the website, you know, even feels a little not legit, if you will. Like, right, as you're poking around, you're kind of like, is this like a for real website? And you know, while it is, and you can get your keys, I'm really not certain about the, you know, the legitimacy
where they came from. Right.
And then,
it might just be as simple as reselling like, you know, ones that went out to press or streamer mm-hmm. keys or something like that.
Right.
Those are, I don't want to say easier to come by, but it's very possible for someone to pose as a member of the press or pose as, you know, a streamer and get a handful of keys for giveaways or whatever. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of these things kind of factor into this, but Tiny Build decided to just sort of take this into the public domain and go, hey, look, like we're being strong armed here. They're not willing to work with us. They're not willing to, you know, do anything to help the developers. They're just kind of sitting back and taking all this money and doing all this other stuff. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting story to read. There's very long, articles that Tiny Build has written that you can find online now. So I just thought, it would be something worth mentioning. And, you know, this is sort of a relevant issue because there are, you know, organizations that do cross promotion advertising with G2A and, you know, back and forth. I think G2A is a sponsor on Twitch as well. And so Tiny Build and maybe some other people are starting to feel like, well, hey, why is this company advertising on Twitch if they're so, you know, so some people are calling for Twitch to not allow them to advertise anymore. And then likewise, G2A also advertises, I think, with IGDA, which is the International Game Developers Association. So there's some irony baked in there too. So it's a very fascinating story to follow. It'd be interesting to see ultimately what the end result of this is, because, you know,
yeah,
like I was saying, it is sort of a gray market. And so without having, you know, necessary sort of like ID checks and, you know, balances in place to make sure that people are getting these keys from legitimate sources, you know, developers will continue to, you know, apparently lose money on these sales that they could have otherwise had from, you know, from their own storefronts or from Steam or somewhere else.
That's a mess, man. It's just,
I know,
it's a sad state that, I mean, I guess, you know, money is a huge motivator for many, many terrible things, but it's just a shame that, you know, people do stuff like that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I mean,
And it does nothing but hurt the industry. Like, you know, games are insanely expensive to make, and the people that make them deserve to get paid for it.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about some pretty significant titles from Tiny Build, like Speedrunners, you know, was one of their titles. That was the one that was, you know, they saw the most sales were lost, you know, in that particular, that was probably the highest game of the three that they spoke about. But yeah, I mean, it's just too bad. It's a bad situation all around, and ultimately it will hurt developers and it will hurt gamers overall. So
right,
you know, it's worth looking into.
Yes. So this next story, I absolutely loved this story, and it just came out a couple days ago, but there was a female Overwatch player in South Korea by the name of Gaguri
mm-hmm.
that is so incredibly good with the character of Zarya that she was accused of cheating in a professional competition. And a little quick overview of Zarya. Zarya is actually one of the more challenging characters to use because her power levels all based on like how much damage she absorbs.
Okay.
So she can kind of put shields on other people and put a shield on herself. And as she gets hit, she can absorb that damage and it increases her damage output. So she's super tanky. And
sounds like a finesse character.
She is. She's really hard to use. She has like a Ghostbuster beam gun. So it's like, it's not like a spray and pray weapon. You have to be very, very accurate. But it turns out that this female player by the name of Gaguri was just really, really fucking good. So these other two players, a guy by the name of Strobe and Dizziness, not making this shit up. So Strobe and Dizziness from rival teams said that if she was not cheating, because she was so good, if she was not cheating, that they would quit. And one of them actually threatened her life because he was so pissed.
Oh, of course, because that's what you do on the internet.
Of course, yeah. And so she's like, you know what? Fuck it. And so she had to put on a mask because she didn't want people to see her identity. Mm-hmm. But she did a live stream of her playing as Zarya and just absolutely showed off how incredible she was live. And Blizzard had this girl's back, had Gaguri's back, and was like, look, we have all the records and everything. She wasn't cheating. You guys are just going to have to quit because you're the ones who are full of shit. It turns out she has an 80% win rate and a 6.31 kill death ratio, which is
incredible.
Just insane. It means like she's just the Terminator when she plays.
Yeah.
But, Strobe and Dizziness ended up quitting. I don't know if anything is going to end up happening to them, but she's going to continue playing and kicking some ass. But I love it just because they were so just so angry that they're like, we're going to fucking quit. And she's like, all right, let me show you. And then she just showed her, kicking some ass. So
that's awesome. On that same note, I don't know if this is the same player that they're speaking of, but I read an article about how they were making changes to the game. I guess there's a feature where you can say like, hey, I don't want to play with this person anymore. And I guess you would do that if the player is being toxic or cheating or something like that. But what Blizzard found is that people were starting to use that feature to block players that they just didn't want to play against because they were too good. Right.
Yeah. I read about this too. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So one player in particular was finding that it was taking them a very long time to get in the game. So they contacted Blizzard and they were like, hey, it's taking me a really long time to get in a game. What's going on? Like, I'm not doing anything wrong. And they dug into the records and found out that a lot of players blocked this particular person. So they did not want to play with them anymore.
Yeah, he was a Widowmaker, like a sniper player.
Yeah. 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 So, Blizzard's just going to, I guess they're going to disable the feature and then remove it in the next, release of the build. Because what they also said happened is that because so many, players at that person's level were blocking them from playing, that once the matchmaking went through all of the possible combinations to make an optimal match, that really good player ended up being matched against people at lower skill levels because that's what the matchmaker was able to find them, which creates more imbalance in the game.
Their matchmaking is, I mentioned this in last week's show, and like, again, I'm totally blowing smoke up this game's butt, but
sure,
the matchmaking is brilliant, man. Like, what it does is it actually pulls from your skill level, which is something that isn't, readily available for other players to see. Like, there's nothing that ever shows your kills or your deaths or anything like that to other players. It's all something that you can kind of dig up yourself, but it matches you against players that are similar to you. So you may see someone that is like a level like 123, which just basically says that they've played like a lot.
Yeah.
And you may see someone who's like a level 15, but it just means that level 15 guy is as good as someone who has played up to level 123, and it'll team them together. So you're always playing with people that are, similar to your particular skill level, which is just
cool.
Which is just great. Cause you never go in and just totally suck. Like, because you're always with people that suck as bad as you, which is just feels great.
I mean, in theory, every game of Overwatch should have a statistically 50-50 chance of either team winning, right? Like,
and
that's
it really
the goal.
Does. Like, yeah. if you were to dig into win-loss ratios of most players, it would probably be 50-50 just based on the weirdo algorithm that they developed,
And that makes it even more impressive that the player you mentioned earlier has an 80% win ratio, because that's crazy pants.
Yeah, and I think that's why those guys lost their minds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the next bit of news is today Major Nelson announced a whole slew of new games coming to backwards compatibility for Xbox One from the Xbox 360. Some of those games include Red Faction Battlegrounds, the original Joe Danger game from If you're not familiar with Joe Danger, it was the first game, I think one of the first games made from Hello Games, who is making now the beyond overhyped No Man's Sky.
Yes.
This was back when they were just a four-person studio making like a fun game about stunt bike racing for the movies.
Now, you know? They are Legion.
Yeah, I know. Now they're where they are, which is crazy. Another game I really enjoyed, which was I Am Alive from Ubisoft, and Comic Jumper, Blood Knights, Crystal Quest, a D&D game, and then the big one they announced today was Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, what is this D&D game?
It's Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystaria.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious. Cool. Well, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I tend to follow the backward compatibility news, and this seems like the most amount of games that were announced for back compat simultaneously since the original launch of like whatever 100 games they said were going to be coming out. So that's a really big deal. That's really cool.
That is really cool. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's nice to see that that more games continue to come to the system. And some of them you're like, I've never even heard of this game before. But
it's great that, you know, you have a lot of options, you know, that if you are an Xbox One owner or soon to be Xbox One Slim owner or Xbox One, what is it called? Navajo
Scorpio.
Destroyer.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
That you will have many, many things to play forever.
I think it all kind of funnels into their goal of unifying the platform, you know, around the platform, I guess, not around the hardware, right?
Right.
So I think they're trying to change your thinking. So when you think Xbox, you think this is a platform that I'm signing into, whether I'm doing it on, you know, Xbox or Windows 10 or, you know, maybe someday even a phone or something. There was, I don't know if you know this, but they released the second Halo mobile game for iOS, and you can earn achievements in
that's crazy.
In that game. I think that's the first game I've ever seen released, you know, on a different platform that you can earn Xbox achievements in, which is, I
remember,
that's cool.
One of the old the Dawn of War games you could, but that was like the old games of the Windows that you used to
oh
get into, yeah,
right,
many
so,
moons ago.
Yeah, but this is on iOS, which is crazy.
It
right?
is crazy.
Yeah. And the last quick bit of news,
this is so exciting.
Yeah, it I didn't really try to read this article, but all I saw was Rogue One will have Star Wars Rogue One will feature in some way Darth Vader in the film.
I know a little bit more. Do you want to know a little bit more? It's
just
not
a
spoilery.
Little bit.
It's not
just a
spoiler.
Little bit.
Just a little bit. James Earl Jones is still doing the voice.
That's good.
So that's true. He is having, there is actually going to be him moving around because there is a stunt actor that is going to be portraying him in some scenes.
Okay.
So it seems like he'll be doing something and not just talking. So.
Oh, that's weird because he was never in the costume.
Oh, really?
No, it was not James Earl Jones in the costume.
No, not James Earl Jones, but the stunt actor.
The original?
No, not the original. That was David Prowse, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But a new stunt actor is donning the costume, but they wouldn't have him donning the costume unless he was going to be moving around.
Oh, I see. So
that
it's
makes
not
sense.
Just like, not like a hologram is what you're saying.
They're not dressing up like 80-year-old James Earl Jones in the costume.
That's what you're saying. You're like, it's James Earl Jones in it, and they're donning the costume. It's like, I don't understand.
No. I was not.
So what you're trying to say is that he's not just going to like appear
right
in a hologram over like a comm or something.
Right. They're
right.
Not just going to tease you. They're probably going to, you know, have him cut somebody in half or something fun like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I'm into that. It's interesting to see because, you know, at this point there are a lot of old books, you know, even for The Force Awakens, there were a lot of books that were all wiped out, you know, with the acquisition by Disney. So, you know, at least in a non-canon way now, people really kind of understand what happened in these time periods, right? Between
right.
films. But I don't know. I'm down. I'm just happy that there's more films coming.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for Rogue One. I think the characters all look great. And they just revealed, I think today, that one of the bounty hunter played by Forrest Whitaker was based on a character that Dave Filoni created for Clone Wars. I can't remember his name right now.
That's awesome.
But they had a picture of him in the Clone Wars and they said, yep, it's the same character. And I just think that's great.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So I think they're, you know, doing some really neat stuff and I'm excited. More Vader, more Star Wars, all good stuff.
Perfect. Coming this, this Christmas, right? This holiday.
Yeah. Unless they push it, then it should be. Nice.
All right, so this past week I played a game which is new to the Xbox One. I think it came out late in 2015 for PC. The game is called In Between. It was published by Head Up Games, and the developer was Gently Mad. It is a sort of a... I've seen it described as a puzzle platformer, but I don't know that I would call it a platformer just because there's no jumping in the game. So I think at its core, it's a puzzle game. But what is really, I think, important about this game is that it does a really spectacular job of telling a narrative throughout the game and then using that narrative to tie the gameplay elements together, in the levels of the puzzles that you're doing. So
what's the overall visual aesthetic of the game? Like, what does
okay,
it...
well, here's where it gets a little tricky. Remember when we were talking about Unraveled? And I told you that the game was sort of like melancholy. And at the time you were like, so it's like watching someone, die of a terminal disease. And I was like, yeah, I guess it kind of feels like that. In Between is about a guy who is dying from a terminal disease.
Oh, geez.
I know.
What is he in between?
You can probably figure it out.
Life and death?
Yeah.
Oh, that is terrible.
I know, but...
God, man.
I know, but before you... And this is what I want to caution people against, is that the game sort of handles it in a very, like, elegant way without it being super heavy-handed or making you, like, too upset to play the game. It's more, like... It's more thought-provoking than it is emotional, if that makes any sense. So basically what this guy is doing throughout the game, he's sort of, like, reflecting on different moments of his life once he receives, the news, right? So... And that sort of like unfolds throughout the game, and throughout the game, he's sort of unpacking his thoughts and feelings and things like that too. So, but what it really does for the gameplay is that, each set of levels is structured around a different stage of grief, right? So you have, what is it, like depression and anger and bargaining, acceptance. I forgot one, but like every level is structured around one of those, phases. And in doing that, they introduce new game mechanics, into each series of levels by telling a piece of the narrative and what this guy's going through. And then that sort of appears in the next set of levels that you play in the game, which is really cool. The other thing that's really cool is that the story of the game is told by, the guy doing like sort of an internal monologue, and the voice actor, I don't know who it is, but it's really spectacular in the way, even the way he delivers the lines and the way that the lines are written kind of remind me of the quality of a game like Bastion with the narrator in that game.
Okay.
Which is really high praise, right? Like that's really awesome because that game was really fascinating because it had a lot of contextual narration. And while this game doesn't do exactly that, it does some of it, right? So sometimes you'll go through a level and you'll die right away and then he'll say something, right? And then you'll be going through the level and you'll reveal there's like hidden vignettes throughout some of the levels. And then as you hit those, like he'll say something about his life. And then you kind of go on and complete the level. So that's really cool too. The art style is all hand-drawn, and then the music is sort of very atmospheric. So it fits with the tone of the game. And let's see. Oh, the other thing I should mention is that this game is very hard.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very challenging. So if you're not, if puzzle gaming is not your thing, if you're like a casual fan of puzzle games, like this should not be the first game that you play, because it takes, there's, certainly a learning curve. And because of the nature of the game, it is a puzzle game where you not only have to figure out what to do, but you also have to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, even if you figure out how to solve the puzzle, you still need to maneuver your character through the levels. And the way you do that is it's a gravity manipulation mechanic.
Oh, God, so like, this sounds like a night, like for me, man, you're describing
like
a literal nightmare.
That's what I told you. I was like,
this is ash poison, this game.
This is like your anti game, right? This is has nothing in it that would appeal to you personally.
Yeah. Totally respect it. It like, I bet you really liked it. I have this feeling.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I love that you liked it, but God, man, like I think about that. I'm like gravity manipulation and puzzles and like terminal diseases.
Yeah.
And God, that's, it's like everything that I hate.
Yeah, I know. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because I feel like I did this too. Like, to be honest, like I got a, you know, I got a review code to play the game, and I saw a couple of emails about this particular game, and I was like, I don't want to play this. And then eventually I was like, okay, I want to play it, because I was just too intrigued by the content and the fact that it was a puzzle game. And I was like, I know there's something there. I saw that the game won a bunch of awards. And so I knew that, you know, this was not sort of like your run of the mill, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, oh, it's a puzzle platformer with a, you know, this and that mechanic, and it's like atmospheric and punctual or whatever. It's like there's tons of those, literally tons of those, right?
Right.
But this one seemed to like rise above all the rest. And so, you know, after playing it, I think that's still true. Like, if you are a puzzle fan, you should and you have to play this game. But like I said, the game is hard. It is so hard that each of the last three levels of each set of levels are optional. So if you get through like whatever it is, like 7 or 8 levels, they actually offer you an out to go to the next part of the game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you could stick around and play the last three. yeah, yeah. So,
God.
But like I said, it's a challenging game, but once you become good at it, like, it's very satisfying to complete the levels.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. Anytime you kind of start to destroy those super difficult puzzles in games, it does feel really nice, but.
Yeah. And the thing, I know this because, you know, I'm also an achievement hunter, right? So I found that one of the achievements in the game was bugged in the sense that it's like one of the ones that fills up with a percentage, right? And the bar stopped moving at one point, and I realized that I needed to go back and selectively play some of the levels from the level select after I completed the game. And going back, you know, after completing the game, going back and playing through some of those old levels, like, once you solve the puzzle, all you need to know how to do is how to do it. And after playing, like, I don't know, I think it was like maybe 100 levels in the game, like, I knew how to do it. And at that point it was easy. But it was very satisfying because it's, you know, it's a well crafted game. And I think that for people listening, the content, the story content of the game should not deter them from at least trying it, because I think it's really good.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're giving a pinky toe up to In Between.
Yeah. We don't really assign, what do you call it? Ratings or numerical values.
You're giving two pinky toes up then.
Yeah. We'll give like a Conan O'Brien review, you know. I'll give it like, you know, 7 power outages on my scale of some random number of power outages.
Got it.
Because it's really good.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you like it, man.
Cool. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. And I'm not just saying that, you know, because of the review code. I would have legit played it for sure. Like, because it's I was really impressed.
Not recommended for people that that don't like terminal diseases and people that don't like puzzles.
Yeah, I would say
if you're a fan of terminal diseases, and if you are a fan of incredibly difficult puzzles that actually give you an opportunity to quit them because they're so hard, then this is a game for you.
Yes, absolutely. If you want a challenge, play In Between. It's on Xbox One. I think it's on PC as well.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and you're listening to the Rated NA Podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Let's move on to our Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week, where we talk about what you liked about E3 the most.
Yeah, so this was a very simple, straightforward question. Like we said last week, we had a pre-E3 show and a post-E3 show. And E3, I thought it was going to be terrible this year, but I feel like it was a pretty good one. And we asked you guys which titles that you were the most excited about, or which things, I guess, you were excited the most about.
This was actually our question from last episode, but we ran really long.
Yeah, we did.
So we're gonna do it now because we don't want to lose your magic.
Kate Dollarhide at Kate D says, "So many space games."
That's true, man. And I personally like this because I feel like with Skyrim, the popularity of Skyrim many years ago, like, we're still feeling the effects of the popularity of that game, right? So some of the games we talked about last week were like, hey, if you like doing things in the woods, like, there are games for you, which include Zelda and Horizon and, you know, the new Sony's new zombie game and so on, right? So there are plenty of games in the fantasy world, God of War, that will cater to those kinds of things. If you like action fantasy, For Honor, that's another one, right? There are tons of them, right? So it's nice to see that space games, the balance is sort of tipping back in the other direction again.
I agree with you.
Yep. Robert Fringing, Mr. Slick, says Spider-Man, Lawbreakers, ReCore, Horizon Zero Dawn, Detroit, Watch Dogs 2, Vampire. We didn't talk about that one.
We didn't.
And the PlayStation VR reel.
All good stuff, man. I feel like the Lawbreakers is kind of getting into crowded space now, and I feel like, you know, just how Hearthstone is sort of leading the charge with card games. I feel like Overwatch is going to be like the hero shooter for a while. And I don't think there's, you know, with 10 million in sales, I think they just have that user base. So I think Lawbreakers is going to have a challenging time breaking into that, even if it's really, really good.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of, like, as far as current and future games go, there's Overwatch. What's the other one?
Battleborn. Paladins now.
Lawbreakers, Paragon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, you know, that's,
the new Quake is going to be a quote unquote hero shooter as well. And they're all very different. I mean, you know, they have one thing in common, they have different characters that you can use, but, they're all different in their own way. So I guess some may appeal to different types of players.
It's one of those things where, like I was talking about with In Between, it's like, if you are in the genre, you can differentiate between those games and probably play a lot of them. If you are someone like me that doesn't play a lot of them, I'll probably just play Overwatch if I want to play one of them, right?
Right, right.
So that's a hard bargain to drive.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And Shuman Pichiana says, Kojima, he did make an appearance. Dead Rising 4, which we talked about last week, looks really good. We Happy Few, which I think will appeal to a lot of different people. We Happy Few. That's very, it's kind of cool and dystopian and just, you know, very Bioshock. I almost said Biohazard. Very Bioshock.
Yeah.
And then Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, or if you're in Japan, Biohazard Resident Evil 7, which they really did do this time, finally.
Wow. Did you have a chance to look at this demo to figure out what this was all about?
I actually watched some people stream it. It looks super scary. I have not played it just because I haven't fired up my PlayStation in quite a while.
True.
But it looks not like Resident Evil, but it looks cool. Like, it looks, you know, very spooky. It looks more like a Silent Hill game though than a Resident Evil game.
Yeah, I thought so too. I think that's really,
and I'm sticking to that,
kind of odd. Yeah. Ness Paper by the Ton, my friend in coffee, says Horizon and a little game called Mass Effect Andromeda with that cutie patootie Asari.
People were all about that Asari, man.
Yeah. I bet we'll see some cosplay even before like any gameplay of this game is released.
I have already seen cosplay of that character.
There you go.
On our Twitter feed. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It already happened.
That's cool.
Elizabeth says State of Decay 2. Cannot wait for that. The single screen we saw of Viscarial Star Wars was sexy, but obviously Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yep. Hey, what are your answers? What were you excited about post E3? I mean, you've had like a week now, so maybe your answers will probably be more, I don't know, like you're not riding that high so much. So like what are you still left with at this point?
Oh man. So I am really excited about State of Decay 2, just because I felt like the mechanics in that game were so unique and so new. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the current gen hardware with State of Decay. So I think that's going to be really exciting. There's a lot of games that are coming out that are like kind of sequels, like Watch Dogs 2 Battlefield and stuff that I'm excited about, but I wish they were, you know, I wish it was something brand new, you know, like I wish we would have seen like CD Projekt Red, like Cyberpunk. There are a couple titles that I was kind of like hoping and praying for that we didn't get to see, like no Red Dead and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But stuff that we did see, obviously very excited about Andromeda. I'm more excited, believe it or not, to see if Andromeda is going to have a multiplayer, because I really miss the living shit out of Mass Effect.
I know. I was so surprised. I really thought there were going to be some like drop the microphone backwards compatible announcements during the Xbox
presser.
They
said nothing about anything. So like, that was kind of a bummer. I felt like the lack of information in general for Andromeda was a bummer, but I'm still very excited about the game. I do think Insomniac Spider-Man, I'm not I love Spider-Man, but you know, he's not like one of my favorite characters in the world.
Yeah,
but I mean, still think point... that game, from what I heard, the footage that they showed was actually all in-game stuff, all in-engine stuff.
I mean, you believe in the game because of the developer, not because of the IP.
Absolutely. Right. So I think that is going to be spectacular. And what else am I excited about? Obviously, I think the one that I'm like most excited about this year coming up is going to be Battlefield 1.
Yes.
Just because that is, you know, that's really in my particular wheelhouse. I've been waiting a really long time for a solid World War One game. And, you know, it having the Battlefield name means a lot of people are going to play it. It's going to have a lot of support. It's going to have a lot of money behind it. So, I don't have to worry about people not playing it after two weeks.
True, true, true.
So, yeah. Awesome. What about you? Let's just do you.
Let's see. I'm not even a PlayStation owner, and I'm excited for Horizon. Just because, you know, like I said, while there are a lot of open world games like this, I kind of like the fantasy technology mashup aspect of the game.
Right, right.
I like sort of the brightness of the presentation. It doesn't have that sort of like next gen filter where everything's sad and gray looking. And it just looks really fascinating. I want to know more about the game. Obviously, I'm excited for what is that game? Detroit from Quantic Dream, because
Looks really gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I read something post E3 that was talking about how, remember a long time ago, they did a demo with that character, and it was during E3. They did sort of like a tech demo where it was a conversation with this character, and it was like sort of a short film. And then by the end of the film, I think you learned that this person is an android, and maybe they didn't know or something like that. I don't remember.
Remember it either. Which was it? Quantic Dream that was going to have the game with a kid in it?
Dream. No, that was Lionhead. With like, they proposed some like far out there idea. It was like Milo or something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, he proposes things that don't always come to fruition. But I think what they were trying to do is I think they were doing a tech demo for maybe PlayStation 3, where they were showing how detailed you could make faces and characters and emotions and things like that. So they showed this female android character, and I think that, you know, we're seeing some of this now in Detroit, which is really exciting. Obviously, Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm excited for, but like in terms of things that I think might come out soon, you know, We Happy Few, let's see, what else am I excited to play? I'm kind of interested in ReCore, even though it's not what I thought it was. It looks like it's going to be a little more hardcore as far as the gameplay mechanics go. Heard it described as a mashup of, you know, Mega Man and Metroid. So I thought it was going to be more in the vein of a action game like Horizon, but I'm still sort of on board to see what's going on. And South Park, like, I think if I were to pick up just one game this holiday, it'll probably be South Park. Like, if I'm just being completely honest, you know, I can get excited about a lot of things, but like when it's actually time to go and make a purchase, I think South Park is at the top of the list.
Awesome, man. That's great.
Because it's gonna be hilarious. It's gonna be ridiculous. And I'm sort of like, at this point, I feel like I'm a lifelong South Park fan. I think there are probably more years of my life where I've watched a show than I've not watched a show, which is kind of weird, right? So that's exciting too.
Cool.
Yeah, why don't we keep it going?
Let's keep it going. So Daniel Coleman, Lucky Spork, is next. He says, Horizon Zero Dawn. God of War looks like it had a baby with Vikings. I'm on board so many games. So.
Yeah, I don't see the thing with, and what I thought was true is kind of true, where I was talking about how like everyone's saying that Sony won E3, but I think of the things that they showed during their press announcement, I'm pretty sure only two of the things they showed are coming out, you know, in the next 6 months, right?
Right.
So they showed like this God of War game. We're not going to see it until, I don't know, maybe next holiday, if not the spring after that.
Yeah.
You know, the Kojima game, like you said, has no engine at this point, right?
Right. Yeah.
So there was a lot of hype there, but you know, while I enjoy hype and I enjoy being entertained, I want to know what I can play this year, like this holiday season.
Right.
But they, you know, I'm on board with a God of War game, but like, I want to play it now. Like, you showed it to me. When can I get it? Right.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Sometimes like announcing stuff so far out is really bad too. So
like No Man's Sky, there's a perfect example. There yes. are always games that are announced at these events that either like don't live up to the billing, or they get canceled, or they turn out to be some other game, like in the case of Prey, right? Like that game disappeared and came back again.
Right.
So you have to kind of like take it all with a grain of salt. Let's see. Haggis McHaggis at Haggis McHaggis says, seeing that LeVar Burton is talking about Star Trek and VR pretty much activated my hype systems. Andromeda destroyed it. There you go. We talked about Star Trek VR last week.
We did.
There's definitely an audience for it, and there you go.
Absolutely. That yes. barrier to entry, though, to have the full crew on the deck. It's like, all right, guys, bring your rigs over, and we need to hook up all our VR headsets. Or do you have $70,000? Because we can get this up and running.
Yeah, I mean, every single person that is going to buy one of these things, that's the headset alone is $400. And if, you know, whether or not the Neo is required, like people are estimating that the Scorpio would be in the $500 to $600 range. So
right.
I would expect the same for the Neo. So that's a very high price point to entry, you know, yeah, just for,
it is.
You know, at this point, what amount to a handful of what they call experiences. Like I want to see some, you know, full length or what, you know, whatever will pass as full length for VR, because I don't know that you could play, you know, if Fallout 4 is a whatever 200 hour game that people are playing it for, like how much time can you spend playing it in VR in one session without sort of melting your brain? There's
hopeful
a lot of
people will definitely start doing it, so we'll yeah, see.
We have like a Ready Player One future ahead of us, right?
Oh boy, it's all yeah. going to be super dystopian and
like the Surrogates, right?
Did people with like animal bottoms. <There you go. laughs> That's the future of VR. Like,
I think we just came up with a new game here.
What do you want your animal bottom to be? Like, ah, today I'm going to be a seahorse bottom.
Yeah. Or, you know, a centaur.
Can a centaur bottom do with a seahorse bottom?
I'm not sure. I think
it's
I
VR. Think, of course it can,
I,
man.
I think the game, I think we're developing right now is going to help us find out.
Let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
Let's just do that. That's our new game dev project.
Perfect.
Animalbottoms.com.
Trademark. Heard it here first.
Chris Jenkins Cloglip says Project Scorpio and Horizon Zero Dawn have me the most excited. I already said that, didn't I? Did I say that? God of War piqued my interest. Beards.
Yep. Oh, beards, lots of beards. Hey, you know what I forgot?
What?
Legend of Zelda.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, that's like I think Amazon ran a poll on their mobile website, and that is the top game. Which is funny because, you know, Nintendo probably showed two games.
Right.
And that's the one that people want. And, you know, while it is very sort of going in the direction of Skyrim, it's still Zelda and it's still them designing the game. So, you know, my hope is that while it may be Skyrim-like, it'll also be Zelda-like and different. You know, it'll take what is popular now and sort of push it forward in a different way, which is why I'm looking forward to the game.
What was the last console Zelda? Pardon me with my lack of Nintendo knowledge.
No, that's fine. I think the last console Zelda was, I think it was Twilight Princess.
Let me look up something real quick. Let's keep the clock running.
Okay, so Twilight Princess came out for the Wii, and they re-released it on the Wii U with the Wolf Link. They also re-released Skyward Sword on the Wii U, and then A Link Between Worlds came out for the 3DS, which was also really good. It was like the spiritual successor to A Link Before Time.
Interesting. Okay, so this is why. See, I am not. I think the last Zelda that I played was Zelda with a gold cartridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious? I haven't. I've never been like a. I loved it in elementary school. Like I remember playing it and like jumping up and down. I was so excited. But for some reason, I haven't played any Zelda since then. So I have no idea, you know, how popular they are. I know they're popular, but according to these statistics, that Twilight Princess sold almost 9 million copies, which is a lot. That is a lot.
And they released it with an amiibo too, so I'm assuming they probably moved a couple of copies because of that too.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, Twilight Princess almost 9 million copies, and that was I think that was even before the HD re-release, so I'm sure they sold a couple million of those too. So
there you go.
So even
that was a different game, I think, for the Legend of Zelda formula. So really seems like they're trying to push out in new directions, because, you know, there's probably been, as far as the core games go, probably over 10 at this point, right? Wow. So it's time for something new.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And finally, One Track Gamers at One Track Gamers say, Days Gone looked great. That's a zombie game. Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War. Heck, the whole PlayStation games list was on point.
I don't disagree with that. I think they did a really good show.
Yeah, it was a very good show.
A good show. Well, that's about it, huh?
We did it.
We tied this one up in a bow. So thank you very much for listening to episode 237 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can find us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate. You can send us an email, and that is Ash, Matt, or Scott at NerdAppropriate.com. If you have a general question or comment, you can email to nerds@NerdAppropriate.com. We have a Twitch TV channel, which is twitch.tv/NerdAppropriate. And like I say every week, we're going to be trying streaming more. I streamed last night. It was fun.
Overwatch, right? That's what you're streaming.
I'm streaming Overwatch along with half the rest of the world, which is probably why not too many people are showing up, because there's something like 200,000 people streaming Overwatch times right now. It's insane. So
yeah, you know what I would stream? I've already kind of figured this out. If I ever got my act together and kind of put the stuff together to do it, I would stream No One Lives Forever, the old
PC. You should do it, man.
PC,
I'll come
awesome
over one of these days and we'll get your stuff set up. It'll take 10 minutes.
Yeah, that would be super cool, because I don't think you can buy that game. It's not like on GOG. It's not on Steam. I think you have to have sort of a retail copy at this point to play the game.
I would watch you play that for sure, because I've never played it.
I think it would be super niche. It's like Austin Powers, basically, with a female character. It's hilarious.
Yes.
Very good.
I'm totally into it. So yeah, we'll get you set up and we'll do that. So anyway, twitch.tv/nerdappropriate. Please follow us there. We'd very much appreciate it. And of course, facebook.com/nerdappropriate, youtube.com/nerdappropriate. And we'll be back next week with an all new show and all sorts of fun stuff coming up. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll be back very soon.
Have a great week. Has some friends in town, so he's going to be hanging out with them. So it's just the two of us.
You're telling
again.
The truth. I was going to tell people that he was getting his BH bleached.
Oh, well, I mean, you can do that with friends.
Like, oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be a solo.
It's a friendly
adventure.
Activity, right? Come on over.
Yeah, that's
Let's
not
get
a solo,
things squeaky clean.
Not a solo adventure at all.
No.